Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to Healing School. What an exciting day today. You know, what I'm going to be talking about is going to be a little bit different, okay? So I would ask all of you to just relax, rest, and absorb what you're hearing, okay? And just really let it sink in, because I'm going to give you some tools that are incredibly useful. But if you don't use them, then you can't get the results and the benefits from these tools. Okay? I'm going to teach you something that a lot of people talk about but don't know how to actually use. So I want to give you these tools to further your lives. How many of you see absolutely clearly what God's doing in the world around you? How many of you see absolutely clearly what God's plan is for your life? Couple. How many of you can see clearly the trappings of the devil? Oh, a couple of you, a few of you. Good, excellent. So I want to start off by just praying real quickly, and then I want to tell you a dream that I had. And this teaching is based off of that dream because it very much confused me. But since this dream has taken effect and I've looked at this, I have seen something very powerful in operation in my life. And it's about healing. And so I want to share it with you since this is Healing School. Is that all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that, Father, everyone that can hear my voice right now, whether in this room or somewhere else, Lord, that, Father, that your word written on these pages, Lord, would become alive and written on our very hearts. That, Father, that we would have them, that they would be within us, and that they'd be a part of our makeup. That, Lord, this would transform our lives. That from this day forward, Lord, our eyes would be opened. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I almost set this thing down. I'm not used to carrying one. All right, so let me tell you what happened. You know that COVID's going around. It's like wildfire, and a lot of people have gotten it. Well, I was one of the unfortunate few that got it too. And as I was there, I had this dream on one of the last nights. And this dream really disturbed me. You ever had a dream that just was different than regular dreams? It was like, this was from God. This was an important dream. And I had one of those. So let me tell you what it is. So I am in a house with some people. And in this house, it was a house that kind of needed repair. It's a little bit broken down, wasn't really great. You could still hang out in it, but it wasn't a great house. And it had windows in it, big picture windows, you know, great big windows. But the windows were loose in the frames, and the glass would be able to flex out, like as if it was plexiglass. And it wasn't staying in the frame. So a lot of air and a lot of blow-by, and critters can crawl in through it because it was a big gap. Big gap, not just a small little gap. And these people that were in the house, something was trying to get into this house, and it was big. And so we're holding this window and putting this glass into this window so it couldn't get in. And I looked and I saw it, and it was a serpent. It was a big serpent, not a dragon, not a snake, but like a dragon's head and all of the scaly neck that it has, but a long body, and the body's about as big around as a basketball. It's big, and it's trying to get into this house where all of us were. And so I'm saying, block the windows, don't let it in, don't let it get in. And as we're wrestling with this glass to get it into the windows, the scene changes. And as the scene changes, this person that I'm with is laying on the floor, and they're unconscious. And as they're unconscious, laying on the floor, I'm grabbing them and shaking them and wiggling their legs and trying to get them to pay attention to me. And I'm shouting to this person. And here's what I'm shouting. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, on face value, this person's laying there kind of in a coma with their natural eyes closed. Already, they're unconscious. And I'm shouting to them, close your eyes, Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And then I wake up. Interesting dream, isn't it? It struck me profoundly. And I said, Lord, what is this? He said, Leviathan. I said, okay, I can understand he's a big snake. He says, his hypnotic effects are robbing the life of my people. Are you with me? So here's what happened. We have a spiritual person inside of us, and we have a natural person inside of us. It's the same consciousness. It's the same I that I call me, me. It's the same I that I call me, me. But they operate from two different realities, two different realms. And what the snake does, or the serpent does, is it isn't that he bites you, he hypnotizes you. And what he hypnotizes you with is this world. This world, he hypnotizes people so that they live in a delusion of what is reality. And they get caught up in the delusion of this world, this natural world, rather than who we are in the spiritual realm, who the new born again spirit person is, the actual son and daughter of God, the one who will live for all eternity, the one who is seated in Christ Jesus, the one who originates from heaven. That person goes into a coma, we'll say, when the natural earthly person has their eyes hypnotized by the things of this world. It makes the spiritual person inactive. Are you with me? Can you hear what I'm saying? Is that going on in you right now? And what happens is we get so caught up into the natural realm and what we see in social media, on television, in the news, in just general conversations in society, and we let that become our reality. We let that be what we call real. Now, on a natural level, it is real. It really is. But we are more than that. We're greater than that. And what the serpent does is he hypnotizes us to think that that reality is the real reality, this natural realm, and that the spiritual realm isn't the real. And that's why I was yelling at this person to close their eyes, close the eyes to this natural realm, so they can come out of the coma in their spiritual person. All right? Now, that's crazy talk. So it has to be in the Bible. There has to be something in the Bible that can make this real and that we can be confirmed by it, right? Because otherwise, it's just a pizza dream. It's all it is a pizza dream or a 'cause you were feeling sick dream. But if it's from God, then we have to have some reality for it based in the Bible. So go with me to Genesis chapter 3. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And it's going to be right in the first pages. We're going to talk about Adam and Eve in the garden. Some of you guys might know this already just off the top of your heads. But this is a lot tougher with a microphone. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. So we kind of know the story of the serpent, but let me just read down to verse 9 with you. Are you with me? It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Huh. There's a serpent. Huh. And he is interacting with people. Okay. He was in my dream. All right. It confirms at least there's a serpent involved. So let's go on. You shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but not the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So in other words, he's saying that, listen, if you do what I say, your eyes will be opened. When the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. We can stop there. No, we can't. Thank you, Lord. He said to go on all the way to 9. Okay. So in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Let me read on. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. So, here it is. The serpent talked to them, beguiled Eve, and got her to participate in eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, their eyes were opened. What eyes? Could it be their natural eyes? They had eyeballs. They already could see, right? So they already had eyeballs. They were walking around seeing. So then what eyes were opened? There's eyes that open to the things of this world that God had never intended for us to be open to. He always intended us to be in fellowship with himself in the spirit so that our spiritual eyes would be our leading eyes, the eyes that dominate where our main perspective stood. And then we would walk in fellowship with him, meanwhile, operating in a natural realm spiritually. But what happened was they ate of the knowledge of the good and evil, and now their carnal eyes, their fleshly eyes, not their flesh and blood eyeballs, but their fleshly eyes, the ones that link to this natural world as reality rather than the spiritual realm with God as their reality. See, we were designed to operate from the spirit while living on the earth. Are you with me? And I'm going to show you where you can do both at the same time. So a lot of us aren't doing that. We aren't operating with our spiritual eyes opened while walking in this natural world. We are walking with our spiritual eyes closed, or at least somewhat barely awake, and dominantly through the eyes of the flesh still. All right? So let me talk about this a little bit. Go with me in your Bibles and go with me to Genesis 21:19. I'm going to hit some key scriptures and I'll just kind of give you the highlights because it's a lot to read. So let me use this. It'll be easier for me. In Genesis 21:19, it's the story of Hagar. Are you guys there? Excellent. So in the story of Hagar, what happens is, I'll just give you the highlights. Abraham had a covenant with God. And so God was with Abraham. And he was going to make him the father of many nations. But Abraham had a beautiful wife who was not able to bear a child. And so they were going through many, many years of not being able to have any children. But God made him a promise. I'm going to make you the father of nations. As much as the stars are in the sky and the sand is on the ground, that's how many people are going to come out of your prodigy from you. You're going to be the father of them. And he couldn't understand this. So he and his wife Sarah set out to find a way to have a child. And Sarah convinced him to use an Egyptian slave woman, Hagar, as a bondwoman, a slave woman, to have the child in his name. So Abraham got her pregnant. They had a son. And this son, Ishmael, was their son, right? So, but it was through the Egyptian woman. Well, after Sarah finally got pregnant with Isaac, what happened was Sarah, when he came of age, saw Hagar kind of scoffing at Sarah because her son was older. And see, Hagar's son was older. So in that time, with that generation, the oldest son got the birthright. He was entitled to everything because he's the older son. And so Sarah saw that and said, he may be your son and your favorite, but mine's older. This is all going on invisibly between these two women with just a little bit of a look. So she gets mad and she tells Abraham, get rid of this woman and her son. Get him out of here. Because she's thinking he's going to take the birthright from this boy. Okay, and so Abraham's really vexed. He's really bothered by the fact that his wife wants him to get rid of his other son. He loves his son. But God told Abraham, pay attention to her. Do what she tells you to do. I'm going to make a nation of him also. And so because he came from you, Abraham, I'm going to bless him. Because God was with Abraham. So Hagar takes her son into the desert. They gave him a skin full of water, her son, and off they go. Well, they're wandering around the wilderness, and the water runs out, and they're in a desert, and there's nothing around. It's not like here. It is nothing there. And Hagar is so distraught, she doesn't know what to do. She sets the boy down under a bush and walks way away, like the other side of this property. They say as far as you can shoot an arrow. So if you took an arrow and shot it into the air, where it lands, that's how far away she was sitting from her boy, because she didn't want to see him die. They had no more water. There was nothing they could do. She was so distraught. She's sitting there just going to watch her son. She didn't want to see it when he died. But God heard the boy crying out. And so he told Hagar, he said, I heard the lad. So you go over there, you get him, you pick him up, you hold him up by the hand. I'm going to bless him and make a nation of him. And then her eyes opened. When her eyes opened, there was a fountain of water right there waiting for her. And then she was able to fill up her skin and get the water out of it, and then they would go on and live. It didn't say God put a fountain there. It says her eyes were opened and she saw it. Look. Verse 19. Sorry, my thing closed. Verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Could it have always been there, but she couldn't see it? Just give you some food for thought. We're not answering this question. We're kind of building an idea inside of us. So in other words, she had her natural eyes that were distraught, freaking out. Everything was taken out from underneath her. She's got nothing. She's out in the desert. Her son's going to die. And God opens her eyes and sees the fountain, and they were able to go on. Let's go a little further. Just going to leave you hanging on that a minute. You guys have heard the story of Balaam and his donkey. Have you guys heard that story? Well, that's going to be in Numbers 22. So in Numbers 22, we're going to look at that just a little bit. And in Numbers 22, We're going to start in verse 22. And this is Balaam's donkey and the angel. And I will go ahead and just read a little bit of it for you. And we'll go on. Ready? So what happens is Balaam is a prophet. And there's a king that wants him to curse God's people so that his people can win. Okay? And so Balaam sets out to do this, but he can't curse this people because God has blessed them. And so he's not able to do that. So he's getting ready to take money from this king to go turn on God's people and find a way to say what the king wants him to say as a prophet, okay? He loved the money. He's on the way to go make the money, and he's riding his donkey. And as he's riding his donkey, he kind of comes up in this deep place to where you can only just barely get through it with his donkey riding it. And he's riding on his donkey, and the donkey swerves and knocks Balaam into the side of the wall, into the rock. And he gets mad at his donkey. And so then he tries to go again, and he swerves and moves out of the way. Well, Balaam gets so mad that he starts kicking his donkey and hurting his donkey. All right? And then his donkey was able to see that there was an angel with a sword ready to kill Balaam so he would keep turning out of the way. So that means that this donkey could see the angel that Balaam couldn't see? What kind of eyes are we talking about here? Starting in verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyard with the wall on the side and the wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me with these three times?" Now, if you were riding a horse, and your horse started bucking on you and rearing up on you and wouldn't go the way you wanted to go. I've trained horses, and I was teaching one to jump over a creek, and it would do anything but jump over that creek. It was just afraid of the water. And it got me angry, but I realized, no, it's not doing it to me. It's afraid of something. So I got off the horse, and I walked it by hand across the street, the creek, letting it know. So here's Balaam beating his donkey because it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But really, there's an angel there. And when the donkey started talking to Balaam, he answered the donkey. Can you believe that? He said to the donkey, verse 29, and Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "I am not your donkey. Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" In other words, have I ever done this before? He said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." So the angel of God asked Balaam, "Why'd you hit the donkey?" So he expected Balaam to be able to see him standing there with the sword. But Balaam couldn't see him standing there with the sword. He was going to cut off his head. He was going to strike him and kill him with that sword. But his eyes were closed. He couldn't see it. Now, were his natural eyes open? Oh, yeah. But the eyes that see into the heavenly realm were closed. The donkey could see, and the Lord opened the donkey's mouth so he can talk, and Balaam wasn't even disturbed that the donkey could talk. That's how hard-hearted, because Balaam was setting out to sin against God's people. That's how much darkness was around him. He was enslaved in darkness, meanwhile being a prophet for the Lord. And so then the Lord opened his eyes and he saw. Let's go on. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, we're going to talk about a prophet named Elisha. Elisha was a prophet of God. Are you all familiar with who Elisha is? Are you? Raise your hand if you know who Elisha was. Okay, a couple of you. Elisha was a prophet of God, and he was one of those people that really knew God. He had followed a man called Elijah, who was a prophet, and saw all the miracles that Elijah did in the name of the Lord. So then when he saw it all, he became his servant, learned from him, and asked for a double portion of that power that God gave Elijah. So Elisha had that. And so Elisha is this mighty man of God who's going in and out of the country, and he's doing supernatural things. Not because he's so special, but because of his relationship with God. He's able to transport from place to place. Every time he was someplace and the king sent his men to kill him, he was transported to another place. He's had so many miracles happen, so many things going on. He was just a really powerful man of God because he knew God so well. So here he is with his servant, and the king has finally gotten his army surrounding Elisha. And the king's army is there, and Elisha is there with his servant. And his servant's out there, and they go out on the balcony, and they look around, and they see the army of God. And the servant's freaking out, afraid, because they're going to come and kill him. But Elisha says the craziest thing. He says, there's more with us than with them. How's that possible? That's crazy talk. There's me and there's you, Elisha. How is there more with us than with them? And this is what Elisha said. He said, open his eyes, Lord. And his eyes were opened. And he saw the angelic hosts in fiery chariots all around them. And they were there with them. They go down, and Elisha says this to the army, or to God. He says, God, blind their eyes. So now God has just opened the servant's natural eyes to see in the spiritual realm, and then they blinded the army's eyes in the natural realm. Let's look at that. 2 Kings 6. So I'm going to just back up to verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. Excuse me. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor that, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. In other words, he fooled them and says, I'm going to take you to Elisha, the guy you're looking for. So just follow me, and I'll show you guys the way. But he led them to Samaria, and it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Eyes. We're talking about we have more than natural eyes. We have eyes that are focused on the natural things of this world and eyes that can see into the realm of God's kingdom. Are you with me? So let's think about this a minute. We actually live in two realms that interact with each other, but we might not be able to see a portion of what's going on if we're not spiritually in tuned to what's going on. Elisha could see those horses and chariots all along. My assumption, it doesn't say one way or the other in the Bible, but it doesn't say that God opened his eyes. It said he saw there's more with us than with them. So he already was participating in this, knowing that there's a realm that's with us that they can't even comprehend. And he took advantage of that. And so then he took those people captive. The servant can see, peace came. Let's go on. Go with me to Luke, the New Testament. I'm planting a seed in you that you would start thinking about this. In Luke 24, I'm going to start in verse 28. Ready? We're talking about the disciples and Jesus. When they drew near to the village, there was two disciples and they were walking. And Jesus was there and they started walking with Jesus down this road, okay? And when they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated, that's Jesus, that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while we were talking with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures up to us? So they rose up early the very next hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 who were with them gathered together. So in other words, these guys were walking down this road on an all-day journey, and they're walking along, and Jesus is walking with them, and he's unfolding. They didn't recognize who Jesus was after he was raised from the dead. And so he's explaining the scriptures and unveiling the scriptures to them, and their hearts were burning with this nourishing, glowing goodness of God as they're hearing these things. They loved what they were hearing. And so it wasn't until they had communion, in other words, they ate bread and drank together, and he broke the bread, then they could see who it was. They recognized that it was Jesus. And when that happened, poof, he disappeared right there on the spot. They saw him the whole time. But then what eyes opened that they recognized him all of a sudden? Think about this. Ready? There's a verse in the Bible, and I don't know where it is. You guys help me if you remember. It says, seeing they see, but they do not perceive. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Anybody know? Minton, you looking that up for me? Thanks. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. Okay. So let's just start this parable in verse 10. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Keep reading. And in this the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown what? Dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, who has closed them? They have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, that they should understand with their hearts and turn, look at this, so that I should what? Heal them. This is the main point of what I want to bring up. It also says this in Acts. It also says it in John 12. That there is a realm called the heavenly realm, and we're spiritual. But so often, we've been raised by our natural parents, our natural teachers, our natural classmates and friends, who all look from a natural perspective and identified us as natural people on the earth. And we've been trained that that's who we are. Okay? And a lot of us have been broken and abused and mistreated. And some of us have done pretty horrific things ourselves that we're ashamed of. And we identify ourselves according to the flesh. God identifies us according to the Spirit. That's why Jesus came, and we have Isaiah 53, where Jesus went on the cross. And he paid the price for our sins, our weaknesses, our infirmities, everything was paid for there. And the natural person has to understand that that's true. And as we get sick and as we have troubles, what happens is we defer to our natural way of looking at things and try to solve it naturally. But what happens is we fall into the Elisha and his servant mode, where we're looking at the terrible situation according to the flesh and not according to who else is with us right now. A lot of us have had help falling apart. A lot of us have had help making mistakes. A lot of us have had help making wrong choices. But there are those who will help us make right choices. We can make good progress and have good works and do healthy things and live a healthy life if we would walk and live according to the Spirit. Galatians says that since you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. So see, what happens is this serpent hypnotizes us, just like he did Adam and Eve, and beguiled her to get us to focus on the very thing that God says for us not to pay attention to. And we try to deal with these things according to the natural instead of according to the spiritual. He said that if our eyes are opened and our ears are opened and our hearts are willing to understand, he'd heal us. Are you with me? Okay. Rubber meets the road. I got sick and had COVID because I wasn't doing what I should have been doing. Was I reading my Bible? Yes. Was I being a good person? I guess so. Doing my best. Was I being kind and generous? Yes. Was I actively awake in the Spirit and seeing what was going on around me? No. No, I was not. And it snuck up on me and got me. So yesterday morning, my wife is sick right now, okay, with a pretty bad cold. They call it COVID, but it's basically a really bad cold. You know, that's all it is. But they call it COVID, so that's like saying cancer, okay? But anyway, it's another thing that the spirit of this world does to us. You know, he just really maximizes that to hurt us. So yesterday, all of a sudden, I'm having headaches. I'm feeling cruddy in the morning. And I'm going, no, this is wrong. No, he gets me at night. That's where I'm the least focused. And so it took me 3 hours, maybe 4 hours yesterday of really focusing and reminding myself who I was and doing what it says in Ephesians. Would you guys go to Ephesians with me? Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to look in chapter 1 and in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 1, really a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. Ephesians is awesome. But I'm just going to read from verse 15 down through probably 19. All right? Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that's what he's the Father of, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, knowing him. So knowing him, you get wisdom and revelation from God by knowing God. So in the knowledge of God, you get wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding, that's your metanoia. That means your deep, the real deep person of who you are. Not deep like intellectually, deep like the core of your being deep. The foundation of who you say you are, that person. You know when you're going through troubles and you start talking to yourself? That person, the one you're talking to. That deep person that you say, nobody understands me. That person inside, the deep person. That's your metanoia, your heart, your imagination, your understanding. It says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that means so that you could actually see that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Look at this. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Where is that inheritance at? In you. In me. In the saints. Saints is the word hagios. It means holy. It's the same holy as Holy Spirit. That's a tough one. But if you're looking at yourself according to the flesh, then it's really difficult to see yourself as God sees you, which is holy, blameless, above reproach, righteous in his sight. And we need to remind ourselves that that's who we really are. Since we live in the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, that's who we are. We're not just flesh and blood. We're spiritual, living in a natural body, walking on the earth. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? His exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So in other words, oopsie, we have to be lying against God if we say we're anything less than that. I was guilty of it. I got caught into the natural, looking at my situation from a natural point of view, looking in the natural realm for my solution, instead of what's actually happening in the spirit around me, and how should I be responding spiritually to these situations that are happening in the spiritual realm, influencing my natural life. That's why he prayed, Lord, open their eyes that they would see. Just like Balaam's eyes were open, just like Hagar's eyes were opened, so they can see the things of God and not only rely on the natural realm for their reality. Are you with me? When your eyes are opened and you see, let me read this again and let it sink into you. 17, 18, and 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, why he calls you, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. Say, in me. So let's read this with the in me at the end. It says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me? That my eyes would be open to be able to see this. And what is the exceeding greatness? This exceeding greatness. It's more than greatness. It's way above greatness. That if we went on to read, we'll go on to read. Thank you, Lord. You'll see how great this greatness is. Listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him where? At the right hand in the heavenly places. How far? Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Far above them. Not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. Who'd he give him to? What does it say? To you and me, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him above everything that is, everything, you and I have been moved into him, seated there, and he gave that position to us. But we don't believe it because we look in the natural. We deal with things on a natural level, thereby voiding our real authority and position in God. We need to learn how to relax, rest in the Lord, and believe we are who he said we are. And let it be true. And not all the scars and blemishes that we have learned along the way, letting the natural world and people with a natural mindset teach us who we are. The Bible says that old man dies. We have to let that identity go. Forgive the people that have hurt us. Do what we can to get it right. And believe God who we are. And when we do that, we can start operating from a spiritual authority and point of view in a natural world. If we don't get that, we're constantly grappling with our identity and who the world says we are. And the world says that we're walking in condemnation if we're looking at ourselves from that point of view. We won't be successful. Are you with me? Amen. We have to really let the Lord show us in the spiritual realm what is happening so we can solve it there. And then we can reap the reward of it in this natural world. Okay, are you able to receive what I'm telling you right now? There's spiritual blindness and there's natural blindness. Jesus opened both kinds of eyes. Okay? So we have to pursue God that he would open our spiritual eyes, because it said that we have closed our eyes. We have closed our ears and our hearts have grown dull. That doesn't mean I don't want what you have for me, God. What that means is I'm saying that what I'm feeling, perceiving, and remembering is more real to me because it's locked in my physical body than what you say is true, God. And we have to override our natural selves and start getting in the spirit with the Lord and letting him show us. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that you can't see the realm of the kingdom of God until you get born again. And you can't enter it until you get born again. So God has always wanted us to be in both. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and I'll finish here. Starting in verse 8. Are you with me? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So let me just say this right now. This is what the Holy Spirit's showing me right now. Don't identify yourself according to the issues of your past, what the devil has done to you, what people have done to you, and what you have done in response. But rather, walk in the light and expose them, acknowledge them, so you can let them go. All right? Finding out, verse 10, what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So let me help you here. It's easy to get stuck in this natural world of what's going on. So we really need each other to speak life into us, to remind us who God says we actually are. Because that snake hypnotizes us. And when it hypnotizes us, it gives us a delusion of reality. And that delusion of reality is that you're screwed up. Can I say that? I apologize. Forgive me for that. You're messed up. You're broken. You're not as valuable as somebody else. You don't know the answers, so therefore you're going to go without. All these things he does to us. It's a delusion. It's not the reality. If you're looking at yourself only according to the flesh, then it's true. But if you look at yourself according to what God says, what he did, where he located us, what happened in the spiritual realm, which is a reality because both of these are happening simultaneously, because plenty of men on the earth operate in both of those realms. They don't pass away. They're both in full operation right now. But if your eyes are closed, your ears are closed, and your heart is dull, you can't pay attention. You don't see how the devil's working. You don't see how the angelic forces are here to help us. You're oblivious to it. And you're on your own, by yourself, trying to figure this life out. And that's not what God wants for us. So we need to wake up, shake ourselves off, and rise up from the dead and walk as people that are alive in the Spirit. And Christ will give us light to shine, that we will see in the Spirit, we will hear in the Spirit, we will understand from the Spirit what's happening and operate in that level. So then we need to be built up in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And as we do that, we sing songs to one another, hymns to one another, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to God. And if we do that with a thankful heart, we'll have the fruit of walking in the Spirit. Are you with me? That's why you ladies need each other. We need each other. I need you and you need me. Are you with me? Because all of us can be hypnotized into looking at ourselves according to the flesh, and therefore thinking we're a servant to that flesh and in bondage to our past. And it's just not the way it operates in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? I love you guys. And I really say that when this sickness tried to get on me yesterday, it took me 3 or 4 hours to wake back up again in the Spirit and realize I had absolute victory over it. Because how many of you know, when you get under a circumstance, it's like a giant rock that rolls on top of you and it's nearly impossible to get out until its time passes. But if you can get it when it first starts creeping at you, and you can get it, you can get out of its way, and you can gain advantage. And that's what I would hope. It took me 3 or 4 hours yesterday to break that thing off of me. And I would hope that all of us, by hearing this message, would realize we need each other to be strong for each other, to speak life into one another, so that we can operate as a person, not that wants to have favor of God, not that wants to be in a heavenly position, but is already there. We're already victorious. We're more than overcomers. We are already the beloved of God. We are already perfect and complete, lacking nothing in the Spirit. So we need to look according to the Spirit, speak from the Spirit, and make this world get out of the way. Wake up to God. Close your eyes to the hypnotic effect of this. What do you call that thing? That serpent. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the revelation that you've given to us and the men and women that have walked before us, Lord. Father, I ask that each one of us would not walk in pride, but in humility of spirit and of soul, that, Father, that we may be able to minister life to one another, that we would see the operation of the evil one and his wicked works that are trying to enslave us, trying to keep us a captive, trying to keep us inferior and cause us to do his evil work. But instead, Lord, I ask you to open our eyes so that we can see who we really are, so that we can speak your word. Even if our natural life doesn't line up with it, we say it's true anyway. Until, Father, something wakes up inside of us and we realize what we're saying really is the truth. And that we can agree with you and get your results in our situations. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.